I have thoughts.
All right. I'm always here to listen.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, so what's the next topic that we should discuss? Because we don't have a list tonight.
No. We're not that organized anymore.
No. We just throw shit on the wall, see if it sticks.
Yeah.
So did you see Creed Originals dropped a new line?
Yeah. So I saw a really interesting theory about that. So Create dropped a coffee line? Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, the coffee motif collection.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know that we've ever had a product line that was multiple shades of the same color. That's yeah. super interesting, right?
It's a cool idea. I like the idea. I don't know how well a couple of them are going to sell, but...
Yeah, well, and that's the question. So what are they designed for? And the theory is, one of the theories that I saw on the Slack was that this will help sell any remaining Pat Ritter skates because it will match a Pat Ritter skate. And it will help sell the brain deads that are, if there's any brain deads, yeah, the mocha looking, the cafe au lait brain deads that came in because they both color match those two. So I'm curious if that's a thing. You've already seen the Them Goods. I think the Them Goods Instagram posted a setup
like
with
shared
them.
It.
Yeah. Super interesting. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Like, if they've got product, like if they've got the boots that are not moving, like the best thing to do is figure out a way to move them. And coming out with a brand new frame that matches them really nicely, that's not a bad idea, in my eyes.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. I wonder if them helped subsidize the purchase of those.
They probably. I mean, my guess would be maybe not subsidize, but maybe guarantee some sales. You know.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if you did this and I'll, you know, pick up 20 sets of each to have on hand so that I can create these customs? Like, you've seen, I mean, take a step back.
Okay.
Everybody's got a lot of inventory right now. Like,
yeah.
Inventory from 2022, you know, starting in spring, really started slowing down. And I have seen a lot of creative ways to get rid of that inventory. A lot of people are doing shell only, so they're selling their skates without liners, which hadn't been done before, but it started being done. And it was like, how are we going to get these skates moving? Well, let's give them a lower price point, you know? If they don't come with liners, we can get the price down, you know, $20, $30, something like that. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. You've seen the Intuition gray or the charcoal Intuitions or whatever they are with the Them skates, where they came out with a brand new liner that was only available if you bought them with the skates. And they've got a bunch of shells out there. How do we get rid of these shells? Let's get a brand new exclusive liner that's a really good liner, and we'll add them to the shells, and we'll get rid of the stock liners. Totally respect that, right? I mean, again, there's a reason for people to buy those skates now. Having a custom frame that matches really well and maybe they sell them as completes, I mean, I don't see any difference between that and doing it with a custom liner, right? It's another way that you can figure out how to sell these frames or these skates that, you know, might not be selling otherwise.
Yeah, I think it is a really cool idea. And I think it's a great theory, and it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. The colors, on the other hand, the really dark brown, I really like. Like the super dark, like whatever it's called. Mocha? Is that what? No. What was the color?
Yeah, the dark brown is mocha. Yeah.
Yeah, it is mocha. I really like that one. That's my favorite. It's just super dark brown. I think that would look great on a white skate, a black skate, like you name it. A couple of these colors, it's just not really for me. But, you know, the super light shade one and the second to light shade one.
Yeah, the vanilla latte.
Yeah, not really. Not really my thing, but, you know. Maybe
I think
the
vanilla latte works is like if someone wants a white frame, but the white's out of stock, they can get those, and they're still going to look white, especially on camera.
That's true.
Yeah. What drives me nuts is the iced coffee color, because, and this was like the coffee snob of me that came out. Like, I don't, like, iced coffee for me is still black. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not the center of the universe as much as I like to think that I actually am. But I find that interesting. Maybe I'll just buy some black ones and call those my iced coffee creates.
So which color is which? So it's...
So the iced coffee is like...
Is it the first one? So if you're looking at the...
No, that's next darkest to the mocha. And then the cappuccino is like a khaki-ish color.
Why isn't it in order?
Who knows?
That's so weird, well, right? Like steamed milk being at the bottom of the list, but it's black coffee. Like the vanilla latte isn't the top, the first one, right? That's steamed milk.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, that they have there should be. Oh no, they're calling the whites the steamed milk.
Yeah, so then the latte is the second one down. Vanilla latte is the second one down.
Yeah, so the new colors are the latte, cappuccino, iced coffee, and the mocha. Then they have the black and the white with the black coffee and the steamed milk. Right, that makes sense. All right. It is a little confusing, though. They probably should have put that, you know, lightest to darkest, but there's a reason that I'm not in market.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't pretend to know everything. I do love that they're doing a different color. I think just having a suite of colors is really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Really curious what the reasoning is. Like, are people just going to pick that individual color and rock it? Like, I would wonder how many people out there are interested in a brown frame, but don't know what color brown to get, you know? Like, that seems like a small group of people. Yeah, so my theory of, oh, well, let's make it so that they color match the different skates out there, I really think that has a lot of merit. And, you know, if they can work with them and get them on the Ritters or on the Brain Deads, I think that's a great business move.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really neat idea. It'd be interesting to see what they do next. So are they going to do like a sweets line next and have like a peppermint colored one?
You know, we'll see. That would be really cool. Like candy or whatever.
Yeah, they did do a really cool line of like super bright colors. Like they had a really bright royal blue. They had like a teal color. I think they had like a neon green and a neon orange too.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and they were really neat. And at the time, I don't know why I didn't get any at the time. I think I just didn't know what size to get, and I didn't want to bother trying to figure it out. That or I'd gotten my Switch frames, and I was happy with them at the time.
That's fair, too.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're not the frame for me. They feel like glass, and I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, a lot of people like them. Some people don't. I mean, frames are frames. You know, you can...
Yeah.
Find one that works for you. There's plenty of good options out there right now. It's really a great time to be an aggressive skater looking for frames to try, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I see a lot of people that I talk to are really into the prime frames.
Yeah. Yeah. I still get a lot of people asking about them, which is nice. It feels like one of those products that slowly but surely people are finding out, you know?
Yeah, and I was in the garage today grabbing a soda, and I keep seeing those Yandi wheels that you sent me on my balance twos, and I need to set those up.
It's a good setup.
Really cool look, yeah.
Yeah, flat 58s on balance twos is a really good setup, especially R58s, the more bullety 58s. I was skating the flat 58s, the Chroma 58s the other week, and they were really good.
Yeah, those look really good. I'm going to try them.
Yeah, it's a rounded profile, so it's a little different, but I feel like it's a good balance for anything you want to do. You know, it was the whole point behind that profile, that you could skate anti-rocker, you could skate flat. The Yandis are very zippy. You know, the bullet really helps with wheel bite, but if you've got the dialed-in angles, then you don't need to compromise the stability. And you can get, you know, a rounded 58. It works really well. 5890, you know, I think it's just a really great all-around size for anything you want to throw at it.
Yeah. So is that profile going to come to the other line as well?
No.
So 50 line, or is that going to stay Chroma?
I think I shared with this. I don't know if I shared publicly, but that profile is going to be used for standard.
Oh, okay.
So
I actually, now that you mentioned that, you did say that to me. I don't know
that I said it, publicly, but I will. I wanted to test it
on Gear Talk, actually.
I might have said it on Gear Talk, I wanted to make a new profile that was I mean, the whole point of the standard skate is that it's going to be an introduction to skating for people. Like, I want a skate that I could recommend to people who are coming back to blading and don't necessarily know what they want to do. Like, I feel like the shell, the features, the liner, everything is going to be top quality, and you're going to want to skate the skate, but I also want to make sure that it's reasonably priced, and then it, out of the box, it's a really good setup. So having a rounded 5890 made the most sense to me. It was like the perfect in-between for anti-rocker, for flat, for a little bit of speed, more durability. Like, I really think those are the best wheels for anybody who doesn't know what they want. Like, they're still good wheels if you know what you want, but if you don't know what you want, rounded 5890, you're going to love it.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea. I need to try some at some point.
You're going to love them. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to fucking skate some more. My knee's finally feeling better though, so that's good.
That's good. We need to get back
100%
out
yet, but
we'll get back out to the compound soon. I was just out there, so it's hard for me to see going up again, but sometime in summer, maybe when it's not too hot. I guess it's already going to be too hot. It's not too bad in Maryland. It doesn't get as hot as it does down here. At least it's not super humid.
Yeah, that's true. The first time that we went, it was hot. There's no doubt about that, but it wasn't, it wasn't obnoxious.
Yeah. Was that when I got the factions? That was the trip?
Yeah, that was the trip when you got the factions.
Yeah. I remember burning my my legs on the grind box. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because the coping was so hot.
Yeah. That happened before I got there, but I saw
it. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, no, that wasn't funny. Yeah, we got to do that. I don't remember when that was, but maybe June. We'll find a time.
Maybe we can get Hood Panda out there, too, and get into some shenanigans.
Wherever he goes, shenanigans will follow.
Shenanigans follows.
So I was just up there. I guess I'll tell you the story. I was just up there a couple weeks ago. I think I mentioned on a couple shows ago that, you know, I got the new job and I'm now in more of a leadership role within my organization. And we have our main campus, our main, you know, office for my group is up in Maryland area. So I was driving up there and we had an all day meeting on Thursday. So I drove up on Wednesday after dropping my kids off at school. Checked in at the hotel and then drove out to Clark's, and we're about 45 minutes from the compound. So I got out to the compound around 4:30, I think, maybe 5 o'clock. Nice. And, it was great. Yeah. I skated for a couple hours, I think, with, locals. It was a week after my back kind of got jacked up. So I think it was on Gear Talk this week. I was talking about my newfound obsession with exercise and trying to keep this year on a positive note and doing more like health based like decisions. So, you know, not only from a diet perspective, but from a mental health perspective and then physical health perspective. And I started off really good, but I had a hard time staying focused. Like, I don't know if you've ever really worked out. I mean, I'm sure you did in the military, but for me, it's really hard if I'm the only one doing it and like I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't have like a personal trainer or anything like that. So I've tried, you know, just a few YouTube videos that I found that gave me exercises that I would do, and I would try that for a week and it would just, you know, I'd get bored and I'd fall off. And then I would do Ring Fit, which was the game on the Switch with like the Pilates ring that you do lot of stretches and stuff, and then you like you're on a like a adventure game. So you battle little bosses and enemies, and they all like attack you, and then you have to do exercises to attack them back, which is really, really interesting. The problem with that was there was so much downtime. Like, it's really a game. It's not a workout. So for an hour of gaming, I'm only working out for like 15, 20 minutes. And it didn't feel very efficient. You know, I wanted something that I could come in and just start going. So I kind of flamed out on that, and I just got bored with it. So I didn't really do much. And then one of my podcasts recommended this app called Fitbod, F-I-T-B-O-D. It's a, you know, an iPhone app. I'm sure they have it for Android as well. and you enter in, it will create workouts for you. So you enter in all of the equipment that you have available, whether that's just a chair or up to a full gym, right? So this weekend I'm at the cabin and I have resistance bands here. So I put in, I have resistance bands and that's it. And at home I have adjustable dumbbells and I have a bench and I have a yoga mat. So I put those in. And you say you want to exercise, you say how long you want to exercise. And I usually do 40 minutes. And it creates a workout routine based on what muscles you have that are not tired. So it tracks each workout. And it says, yesterday you did a lot of quads and lower back. So today we're going to do shoulders and core, and we'll do, you know, arms and stuff like that. And then if they know that you worked out those, then the next day they won't work those out. Like, it's really interesting how they pick exercises. And it has all of the exercises for you. So it's like a personal trainer that has picked out these exercises with the weights, with the reps, with everything that you should be doing, keeping in mind what muscles are fatigued and which ones need to recover. And every time you create a new workout, it lets you do it. So I've been doing it, and I think I've done like 10, maybe 12 workouts. I do it every couple of days, maybe 15 workouts. It's been a couple months now. And it's really good. Like, I feel like I'm getting stronger. I feel good after I do it. I did jack up my back. So I was doing some exercise, and I'm sure that my form was completely buckled, and I just screwed up my back, and I could feel it just tighten. Yeah, I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to do this anymore. So I just gave it a break. And that was a week before I was supposed to go out to the compound. So when I was skating the compound, my back was still pretty jacked up. But I felt like it was skatable. So I skated for like a good hour, and then I just stopped because I was like, I fell off of one trick, and I kept trying to back. So they have this really long, what is it, 30 foot now? 30 foot? No, 20 foot. 24 foot, I don't know how long it is, but it's the flat area. You remember when we went out, they were building the flat area?
Yeah, the playground.
Then, yeah, during the Grindsgiving, they had it up, and then there was the A-frame and then the little grind box below it. Now, on the opposite side of that, there is just a box that goes maybe 6 feet from the bottom of the transition all the way to the end, and then 6 feet before the next transition. So it's like a good 24 feet, something like that. So much fun. Like, it's the sort of thing where you jump on the grind and you're like, you get set, you know? So like most grinds, you jump on and then you kind of squash yourself to get set. You jump on, you get set, and you're like, all right, I'm here. And you're like, oh shit, I've still got like half of the thing to do. So like all of the grinds, it takes a long time to get used to the cadence, you know, because most objects are, you know, 8 to 10 feet or so. This thing is like, by the time you get set, you now look up and you're like, I got half the thing to balance out. So I was trying to get back Royale on that thing. And of course it's the fastest coping because it's at the compound.
Yeah.
And I had a really difficult time. It kept slipping out, slipping out, slipping out. I just couldn't stay over it. A couple of times I got it and then, you know, I just couldn't pull the whole way. But I remember falling after one and I felt my back and I was like, all right, that's me stopping. Like, that's my back saying you should probably stop right now or it's going to get really bad.
Yeah, anytime that I would start in the gym, I'd get dumb and be like, oh, like I can deadlift 255 again, and next thing you know, my back hurts for 2 months and I can barely get out of bed. So I've consciously made the decision to, when I do go to the gym, you know, I know what my limitations are. I know that I'm older, I know I need to stretch, but I still don't. And I wonder why I hurt myself.
Yeah.
So so I know what I need to do and what my limitations are, so I'm not pushing it just yet. When I did hurt my knee, I was like, all right, I'm just going to do, you know, upper body stuff, and I'm going to walk the track because, you know, it's the training center, the Coast Guard, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have amazing stuff that's there, and, like, they have this challenge course and a Avaya course. We run from station to station. So there's a lot of cool stuff that's there, and like, I'm trying to take advantage of as much of it as I can, you know, so I can, you know, stop being a fat, lazy piece of garbage. So my plan is I downloaded an app that one of my friends uses, that Jeremy uses, and he was like, oh, this is a great app, you know, you should definitely use it, you know, and it had like 2 months for free, but it was very similar to what you started out as. Just like, all right, well, I don't know what to do. And it just had like these very basic exercise routines that you could do that were very much like bodybuilding oriented, where you do a certain body part. So you do, you know, back and buys or, you know, you know, chest and tries and stuff like that. So I'm just like, all right, so this is cool. And like, I remember some of the stuff that I used to do when I would work out all the time, but like, I know that I can't do a lot of that stuff yet if I don't want to hurt myself. So like, I think I'm going to do that FitBod that you were talking about. Cause I was looking at that as you were explaining, I was like, all right, this is probably way more what, you know, up my alley that I need right now.
I highly recommend it. I have a, I'll put a link in the show notes for a free trial. I think you get like six workouts for free or something like that. And as a subscriber, I think it's like $50 a year, so it's not going to break the bank. But as a subscriber, I can send out workouts. I will share that, and I'll put that in there so that you can get a free sign up. I don't think I get a kickback or anything like that, but it's just I'm a big fan and fanboy of this. I think the biggest problem with working out is you just feel like you're wasting your time. This is absolutely like you go at whatever pace you're ready for. You know, it gives you the workouts. It gives you videos to show how to do the workouts. And then you just click start workout. And it's like, all right, I'm at my own pace. Like I'm ready to go. It's been working really well. Like I feel really good. And I, at the end of it, I feel accomplished. And that has never been the thing. Like I always wasted so much time getting ready to work out that I always regretted working out. Now it's like, I'm just ready. I, you know, put on Mad Men, an episode of Mad Men. I'm going through Mad Men again. Okay. And it's like a 45-minute show. And I'm like, by the end of the episode, I'll be done with my workout. So I just, you know, start my exercise and watch my show, drink my water, and then good to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to, so when I was going to the gym, actually after I hurt my back, I would still do some form of cardio. So what I would do, the gym that I went to had a, they had a cardio room where they had like a, it was dark and they had movies playing and stuff like that. So
nice, yeah, yeah.
I would bring my phone and I'd watch Game Theory and I would just crank the music up so that's all I could hear. And I would walk at 3.5 miles an hour and then every 2 minutes or 3 minutes, something like that, I had it timed out to where I could go from zero incline to 12% incline and then back down, and that was an hour.
Ah, there you go.
It was god awful.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like I felt like I was going to die by the end of it. But like after doing that for a couple of weeks, like I got to where I knew what to expect. I knew what was going to be difficult. Knew where I could push myself, go a little bit faster. So like it was a lot of fun. Like, and I did feel like I was feeling better. You know, had, you know, better cardio and stuff like that. My legs were a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. So, but I keep yelling at myself for not going to the gym because I get 90 minutes for lunch when I work out. So why would I not?
It's a good thing to do. I mean, it's a benefit. It's time that's built into your pay that gives you something back. You know, it's like investing in yourself. Like, yeah, you should definitely do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the dentists is in really great shape. And so he was just like, I'm a gym bully. I will tell you, you need to go to the gym. I was like, good. I need that. Like the more you push me, the more that I'll go. And then when I hurt my knee, I was like, Trad's going to yell at me.
Yeah.
So well, I told him, he was just like, heal up. Yeah. He was like, heal up. Don't make it a problem.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. You could hurt yourself more.
I was like, yeah, but I want to. And then I didn't go anymore.
using the app, you can say, okay, I have access to all of this equipment. And whenever you generate your thing, you can say, what do you want to work on? I want to work on upper body. I want to work on lower body. I want to lose weight. I want to get stronger. I want to get healthier. Like, and then you can just skip the exercises that you don't want to do, and it will generate a new one. Like it's super smart. You definitely have to, especially if you have access to that. There's, again, I'll be the bully. There's no excuse. If you're healthy,
yeah.
Like if you don't want to hurt your knee, like you can, I'm sure there's something that says, hey, you know, I'm injured in my knee, but I need to work out the rest of my body. Like,
yeah,
I guarantee there's something that you can go around doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure.
Very cool. I'm excited for you.
Me too. You know what else I'm excited about?
What's that?
I just found that on Inline Warehouse, you can pre-order the new PowerSlide Zoom 80 in hot ass yellow. and
oh my God.
Pastel pink. I had no idea. They call it neon yellow and cotton candy pink.
Did you know that
such shenanigans was afoot?
No. I see them right now.
How awful. That's not true.
I mean, the Zoom 80 is the Barbie skate. So.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I kind of like it, honestly. Yeah. I like the options there. I can't skate that shell because it's just way too narrow on my heel. But it's really cool looking.
That's very true. Yeah, this is a pretty cool... I'm glad that they're doing it. When does that Barbie movie come out? What did we say, July?
I think so, yeah. Sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
I know that's vague, but...
I mean, this is the Barbie skate, so if they can make this work, $200, it's a hard price to beat.
Yeah, yeah, and it's quality. Like, it's good stuff. Exactly. I think these are riveted, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, which isn't a bad thing, especially for a fitness skate. Like, yeah. You don't need a sole plate. You're never going to replace those frames. Like, just do your thing.
And if someone really wants a yellow, sway, just drill out the rivets.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. Drill out the rivets and put on a sole plate or something, and you're good to go.
Yeah. It's definitely another option. I love the idea of that. So, like, I was against riveted sole or riveted frames for a long time, and then Jake Ely... Mm-hmm. was talking about the collaboration that they did with PowerSlide for their Zooms.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how they riveted the frames on there because the people they're marketed to don't give a shit. They don't want to change their frames, but they still want something that's going to be enjoyable to skate. So it's a solid base. You're going to get plenty of, power transfer and everything like that. So it made sense. I was like, you know what? If that shell fit me, I'd buy a pair.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to know the market that you're selling to. And that, not everything is for you. Not everything is for aggressive. Like, you see a lot of these people coming back into blading, and they're posting on rollerblading. And the responses that they're getting are all with an aggressive slant. So absolutely. It's like, oh, you should get some Aeons or whatever. And it's like... No, I just want skates. And it's like, oh, Aeon 80s. Like, no. Like, Aeon 80 is a horrible skate for somebody who's just getting into blading. Like, give them these PowerSlide Zooms or, like Loco said, the Loco Zooms. They're so cheap. They're, no frills. They're a fine skate that comes with a fine liner that, in some places is going to be a really cool color. Riveted on frames because nobody cares. Yep. Probably fine bearings because they're never going to swap them out.
Yep.
And just let them have fun skating, especially at the price. $200, you can't beat that.
Yeah. I think I might see if I could get a pair of those for Emily.
I'm curious what size, yeah.
Yeah.
A 5 is a little big.
For now. She's already wearing the wife's shoes.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I mean, like, so she can wear the wife's shoes, but the wife's feet are still... was like a half a size too big for Emily's sneakers. So they can't switch them, but Emily steals her shoes all the time.
Oh, that's funny. My daughter is bigger than my wife now. Taller.
Goodness gracious.
Bigger shoes, bigger pants and clothes. Yeah, it's crazy
what,
how quick.
What is this world up. Coming to?
I know. Everybody's all grown up.
I can't believe I don't believe it. I don't want to believe it. Yeah, but then again, like Dylan's 2 now.
I know. I remember when he was baby.
Yeah, he talks so much and everything like that. I mean, it's still gibberish, but like he's talking, he's running around, he's still trying. He likes like looking at things, trying to figure out how they work. He still doesn't know yet, but like he investigates things. Mm-hmm. Like one of his favorite things in the garage is the power washer. He just looks at it, and, like pokes at things, and like trying to figure. It's crazy watching him try to learn.
That's awesome. I don't Agreed. Miss it. But I kind of miss it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the thought that I had when it was just like, are we going to do number 2? I was like, I kind of miss like the baby milestones, but I don't miss the diapers.
Right.
And it was just like, yeah, let's make it happen. Let's do it. And then spend a shitload of money.
Well,
a lot of money.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Yeah. And now that I've got this job, I'm going to build that retirement back up.
There you go. Yeah. You borrow and you always pay it back in the future. I have confidence. Life is too short.
Agreed. It's just money. You can make more.
Yeah, it's just money. So let's see. So I was at the compound, and then the next day I had a full day of work, which was long. I haven't been in the office since COVID, and it was my first day, like, just in a full day of meetings. So it was a very, very long day. And then that night, I drove back. So from Maryland, I left at like 5:30, I think, meetings were over. Mm-hmm. And I just jumped right on the road and drove home. And that's a 6-hour drive. It was a long day. And then the next morning, got up, take my kid to work, or take my kid to school, and then I went to work. I actually took Friday off because that evening we were doing the open house. So this was the weekend of the Crowder Power competition in Raleigh. So Friday we had the open house at the warehouse. So I invited the Slack, anybody, you know, on the Slack or friends and family who wanted to stop by, come by and skate and have fun at the warehouse. And I got food and I think I got catering. And then, we had, a bunch of people come by and skate and have a few drinks. And it was a lot of fun just hanging out and, you know, meeting people in person, which is always great. And then the next day we were supposed to do the event. So it was going to be on Saturday, but we had a really bad, storm come through. And it actually ended up hitting around 11 o'clock, which would have been right in the middle of the session. And it would have killed the skating. So there's, you know, no way around it. We had to cancel the session and move it to Sunday. But I had the warehouse. So I opened up, I think we opened up at 10. Yeah, 10. And people started coming in. It was a steady flow of people from 10 until probably 4 o'clock, which was really nice. Yeah. I always love doing events because it's rare to find a place that is blader friendly. That's like, I don't know. Like I feel like the love that I've put into the warehouse with the little things and the mural and the, I don't know, the gear and stuff like that. Like people dig that, you know, somebody who's actually absolutely like invested in the sport, and like I had, you know, the posters on the wall and like the old, you know, stuff everywhere that you can look at. There's daily bread in the bathroom so you can sit and read while you're doing your business. Like I love things like that. It's like, what if a rollerblader, like what would a rollerblader's house look like? And it's like, this is what I would do.
Yeah, what if you didn't have a wife helping make exactly some of the design decisions.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So it was really nice. I had everybody come over, just hang out. It was really cool. And then the next day, we had the event. So this was at Marsh, which is the skate park that has the bowl area. It has the rounded ledge that I really love. I'm sure you've seen a video. If you've seen any of my videos, you've seen a video of me at Marsh. Probably my favorite local spot, just because that ledge is so fun.
And, it looks fun.
Yeah, it's a great ledge. And the event started at 9, I think. And it went until, I think it went late, but we cut out around 3. So my friend Dylan and I manned the booth. We had a booth for balance. So I had all the brands represented, I think even Compass. No Compass. But I had Fitty Fitty, Chroma, I had Mushroom Blading, and then I had Standard was there. And we had a booth. It was great. Got to meet a lot of new people. I had the skate out, the same 3D printed sample that was at the Bitter Cold, because I knew that a lot of people weren't able to see it at Bitter Cold. So I had it still out there in the tinted box so that you couldn't really see it, but you could kind of see it. It made a really cool poke picture and stuff. And people were digging it. They were all talking about it and asking about it. So it was really nice to meet people and chat with people. The day was really good. It was not too hot, but we had a really nice little tent over the booth, so it was fairly cool where we were. Really good vibe. You know, there was food truck being, or a woman who usually runs a food truck set up a booth, and she was handling, you know, hot dogs and stuff like that. And funny enough, she is somehow associated with rollerblading, maybe her son or something, because I went up and, you know, ordered food. And I said, oh, you know, thanks so much. Thanks for doing this. You know, we really appreciate it. And she said, well, I really appreciate you. And I was like, huh? And she's like, we watch all of your videos and it's great to see you being like, you know, my kid is really into it. And it's great to see you being respectful and like showing blading a good light and wearing your helmet and doing really clear explanations of how to do tricks and how to do stuff. And I was like, that means a lot. Like, it's awesome to hear because you don't hear it in person, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I hear it in a YouTube comment or I get a message on Instagram or something. But to have somebody out of the blue say, oh, yes, thank you for doing what you do. It was this a really, really good feeling.
Yeah, thanks for not being a piece of shit.
I mean, it's so easy to be a piece of shit on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I do everything I can to be genuine. And, you know, the me yeah. that you see on the videos is the me that you would see in person. So I like to be that guy. And it makes me happy to hear that people are picking up on that. You know, it's not just me going out skating by myself and putting it on YouTube. And then the 20 people who comment, there are actually a lot of people who are watching it that are paying attention. So, yeah, it's a really good, really good feeling.
Yeah, and I will definitely say, like, even though we had, you know, hours and hours and hours of conversations and stuff on Messenger and everything like that, when we finally got to interact in person and stuff like that, you were the same guy.
Yeah. So
it's not like you were, like, trying to, like, pick your words or anything like that. Like, obviously, when you're putting media out there, you want to try to make it as friendly as possible. So, you know, the horrible things you say to me when you're bullying me, you don't say when you're on...
No, different things. In public.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But no, I mean, like you bust a little bit of chops and stuff like that, and that's great. Sure. And I loved it, you know. But so much of your personality is the same from your videos and from the podcast than, you know, in real life, which is great because I feel like if I meet some of the other people that I enjoy listening to their podcasts, watching their videos, that they're not quite going to be that same guy.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, I would expect them to be the same guy because of the experience I've had with you.
Yeah.
So if I get to meet some of my favorite YouTubers or podcasters, maybe they are pieces of shit. Who knows? But you are definitely not.
I think people are people.
And that's great.
Yeah, I think people are people. And I think you can find rotten apples everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know of any YouTubers that are different in person. Or if you watch somebody on Instagram, like, you can tell. I think the biggest comes across as an asshole, maybe, but is really sweet in person, is maybe Yandi. Unless you follow him on the Instagram and you watch all of his videos, like, he's very intense. Like, if you watch just his regular videos, like, there's a lot of anger. And it's not, like, angry at the world. It's, like, angry at the trick or angry at, you know, the rail or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the most genuine person in person. I think maybe a lot of pros, like, I think that might be the distinction where you see pros and you see them skating and all that you see is game face.
Yeah.
But the personalities, the YouTubers, the me, the Ricardo or Brandon or any of the guys that do like a vloggy style video, I think you see our personalities because it's really hard to fake that every episode. You know? Yeah,
it's hard to fake consistently.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely more outgoing in my videos because it's just me. And I have to be outgoing because it's just me. Like, if I'm in public, I don't strike up conversations as quickly unless I feel like I should, you know? But I definitely wouldn't be able to keep that level of excitement and energy going if it weren't real, you know?
For sure.
Like, that's a hard act. It's a hard act to keep up with, you know, 1,000 episodes or however many times I've done the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And Yandi definitely seems like he's a very genuine guy. Like, listening to him on the other podcasts he's done, when we talked to him, you know, it was really great to see that part of him, and, you know, more relaxed, more, you know, not super intense, like staring into your soul.
Yeah.
As a top mistrial.
Well, and so, that's the thing, right? You see his clips and he's staring into your soul. Or he's got a baseball bat, you know, with a barbed wire around it. It's like, come and get me. And it's
oh my God. If he doesn't, if he's not the angry youth keychain for Halloween one year, I'm upset.
That's a really good idea with the bat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll have to make sure he hears that. That'd be a good one. Anyway, so that was Crowder Power. It was a really, really great event. I got out of there around 3. You know, the event was a full day, and it's kind of weird when you do an event in your hometown because you don't leave home. So I don't take my local dad mind out and, you know, transfer myself to an event. I'm just at Marsh and I got to get home for dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my wife was totally fine. Like, she would have handled dinner. It's not like I had to get home so that the kids could eat. But I felt like obligated, not obligated, but like, it just felt like, what am I doing here? I should be, you know, like, it was hard to take myself away from the normal day to day.
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense. And I think of that too, that same thing. Like, if I'm doing something that I want to do that I know no one else does, it's like, all right, I want to try to make sure that I can still do stuff with the family. Mm-hmm. So I try not to take too much time when I'm doing those things.
Yeah. So that was that weekend. And then the next couple of days, it was a stress. So we wanted to share the skate at, Blading Cup. And it was like, when am I going to have the samples? When am I going to have the samples? Because they were supposed to have the samples for us before Crowder. So I was going to have the samples at Crowder. And it was just delayed. And I'm like, ugh, how long is it going to take? Because I wanted to share the actual, like, molded samples from the molds. Because the molds were done, but they didn't have the shells. They didn't have everything ready for me. And I was like, ugh, what do I do? I had to leave on Thursday morning for Blading Cup. So Blading Cup started that next weekend. And I had a delivery from DHL for the skate samples. I knew it was going out the week before. And it was slated for delivery on Tuesday. So I was like, oh my God, like, what is it going to be like? Like, is the sample going to be just, because you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what to expect.
Is it going to be right?
Yeah. Is it going to be showable? Like, I didn't even know. Like, am I going to have to show this 3D printed sample again? You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring the 3D print out to Blading Cup because I've already shown it at Bittercold and I already showed it last weekend at Crowder. Like, I want to show something new.
Yeah.
So I get the DHL tracking number. I'm tracking it like crazy, you know, like you've got something coming from Amazon or whatever. And you're like, oh, I got it. Like your new iPhone is here or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I got to get it. I got to get it. My wife comes home. I'm staying home because I'm ready for this delivery. My wife comes home and she's like, I had to park down the street. And I'm like, oh, no, what happened? And she's like, well, you know, we live in a cul-de-sac and there's only one way in.
Yeah.
And they were doing construction on one of the houses, and Tuesday was recycling day. So we had recycling bins all up and down the street. So it was crowded street. And she's like, I've got a meeting. I've got to be home. So I just parked and walked. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then I see that my DHL package was delayed. And I'm like,
no.
So
I tried to chase the truck down.
Well, so I got the tracking update because I'm getting all the pages because I'm crazy like that. Like anything that's happened, like any changes in the delivery, the update, if it's out for delivery, whatever, like I'm seeing it go from every stop and I get this exception, this delivery exception. And the status was street inaccessible. And I'm like, no, like, what are you doing? So I'm looking and I'm like I'm crushed, you know? So I called DHL. I'm like, hey, like, I know that it's probably too late, but can you keep this at the warehouse at the access point or whatever so that I can come pick it up? And they were like, yeah, no problem. Like, well, as soon as, 'cause the drivers go out and then they come back. And then when they go back, they drop it off at the, you know, they check in and then, you know, if it tells them to drop it off, then they drop it off. Mm-hmm. So they dropped it off. And then the next morning I picked it up. So Wednesday morning, the day before, but I was like, oh man, like cutting it close, guys, like a day before I leave for the thing, I do the thing. So I opened the box and it was in pretty good shape. So it was a complete pair and they sent me a sample of each of the parts. So I've got a pair of frames, a pair of cuffs, a pair of boots, a pair of sole plates, and a set of grind wheels. which are all the molds that we've purchased. We didn't get the hardware yet. I think they're waiting on the hardware because the hardware molds are much faster. I think the actual injection molded parts, that mold takes like 45 days or something like that. And I think, you know, a casting mold takes, you know, a couple weeks. So they didn't do that yet. But I had everything else and they looked good. And I was like, all right, exhale. Like I can make this work. There was some little cosmetic things that I had to clean up and change because, you know, they were the first samples. Like it doesn't have any texture added. It was just a weird look. So I cleaned it up a little bit and, you know, added the, like the paint that was, the highlight in the skate. We have a painted area that's like an aesthetic. It was the wrong color, so I had to paint it. So I'm glad that I had a day to do that. But then it was pack everything up and get on over to the airport the next morning, drop my kid off. And then did I drive home? I think I drove home and then my wife dropped me off at the airport and then flew out to California. So left at 10 o'clock, got in around 5 o'clock local time, you know, long day, no, 4 o'clock local time maybe. And then I flew into LAX because I wanted to take this opportunity because I don't get out to California often anymore. I wanted to go out and visit my mom out in Yosemite. Okay. And I knew that it was like a 4-hour drive to Yosemite from there. And LAX is about an hour drive to Santa Ana. So I was like, okay, if I fly in and out of LA, I can make the thing work, like save an hour here. I don't have to worry about, you know, dropping off a rental car in Santa Ana and then somehow like less complicated if I just flew in and out of LA. And I think it was like $100 cheaper. So I was like, all right, it's worth doing. Got to the Airbnb, checked everything in. And then the next morning we set up and we did Blading Cup. It was, everything worked out the way that it should, which was really nice. I was very, very nervous. But yeah, I had a really good time at Blading Cup. When's the last time I went to Blading Cup? 2018, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Very different event. So I think we've talked about Blading Cup and like the evolution of the street course and the evolution of the event, and the last few years especially, it's kind of, as since COVID, it's kind of evolved into this this different state. You know, back in the days when they were on the Fox Sports Network, they had the announcers and they had the best skaters in the world, and the street course was like, you know, like an ASA-style street course. You know, it had quarter pipes, it had big ramps, it had big grind boxes, it had things that, you know, on the side of tractors, trailers, and like big, you know, death rails and stuff. Nothing like that in the last few years. And it's been a very like slow decline in like the advanced nature of the street courses. And this year was no different. You know, it was a much better street course than it was last year. And, you know, last year was much better than the year before. What was interesting about this year is maybe being there, I realized that I think Blading Cup might have a bit of a marketing problem where they have the name and everybody like me, and I'm sure, you know, you've seen the Facebook posts about how Blading Cup is, you know, crap. I don't think that that's a fair assessment. I think that if they're comparing it to the way that it used to be, then yeah, it's going to be an underwhelming event. And I feel like they might need to just change the name of it because it's a really excellent weekend, but it's more like a festival than a skate competition.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a weekend for rollerbladers to get together and celebrate rollerblading. So if you take it with that perspective, it all makes sense. There are video premieres. There are interviews with people. There are events happening all throughout the day. There's booths so you can see the trade show sort of stuff. There's product launches. And then there's this little area where they're doing skating. And that changes the perspective. This year, you know, was no exception. I didn't get over to the street course much. it was right where the bathroom was. So I walked over to the bathroom and I would watch some of the skating while I was waiting in the line. And then I would walk back to the booth. That's the expense of the actual skating that I saw. But I saw a ton of skating throughout the weekend because all littered around the parking lot where the booths were for the brands were grind boxes. So there were painted curbs, there were P-rails, there were launch ramps, there were boxes everywhere. And it was like a parking lot. So if you imagine a two-section parking lot, the spaces were picked up by the booths. So each of the parking spaces were, you know, like a booth. And then the driveway area was where people were skating. And it was just an organic, fun skating session. Like, just people going out there and skating. You know, pros, brand new skaters, quad skaters, like, you name it. Just everybody is just having fun doing what they did. And it was great. It was a really great event. I am looking forward to going back. You know, I'll likely do the November one if they're doing the November one. I feel like it's just the sort of thing that as a rollerblader, if you have the way to get out there, it's worth going to. You know, it's worth being part of that weekend. You know, I always encourage people to go to events to be part of the culture. You know, don't just stay at home and watch it on Instagram or YouTube. Go out and actually participate, be part of the scene, be one of the skaters out there. Even if you're not skating, at least just watch the skating, cheer on the skating, take a look at some of the companies that are exhibiting, things like that. I think this is no exception. I think this is probably the best one of these, especially now that we don't have bitter cold, the best one of these style events in the U.S. That we have. So yeah, definitely looking forward to November. I think, again, if Blading Cup were rebranded into less of a competition, like you're going to win the cup at the end, and more like a blading festival or blading palooza or whatever they want to call it, like, that would be a really, I think, a welcome change, and I think people would really dig it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think it would be a really neat idea to do mini comps, kind of like they did it, what year is it, when like Guy had won the hot dog comp.
Yeah,
on that,
yeah,
little,
yeah,
hot,
yeah,
dog P-Rail thing. So I think that would be a pretty neat idea, because, or like a switch-up competition or something along those lines, or who can do, you know, the furthest misty flip or some shit.
Right.
But I feel like it's turned into, just like you're saying, more of a festival-type situation, kind of like how Ruck Skill Day was. I don't know if they're still doing that, but
I don't know that.
So it's like a music festival that also happens to have skating at it. That's the way that I understand it. Mm. But it was in a bunch of the... what was that group? Like... The Cayenne Project, like a lot of their stuff, they would have a bunch of clips from Ruck Skill Day, and it seems really neat. And I think that would be a cool idea to adjust the format for Blading Cup to do something like that, because then I feel like people will bitch less about, like, we're gonna have the our top pros, you know, doing a P rail comp. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. But I saw Alex Roscoe doing P rail tricks. I saw, like, all of these pro skaters, like Roadhouse was just having a great time grinding a curb with Louie. Like, that's awesome. You know, it's what we loved about, what year is it? Going out there and just skating with everybody. Everybody's on the same level. We're all skating the same objects. We're just all having a good time. I will say that it was a long effing weekend, dude. Like, setup was at 9:30, I think. And I think I rolled up first day at 9:30, second day at 10. And the event actually started at 11, but as soon as I set up, people started, you know, coming by, of course, and saying hey and everything. I don't think we ended until 5 every day. So I cut out on Sunday. I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm going to give it my all on Friday, my all on Saturday. I figured that people who were going to come on Sunday were probably already there on Saturday. But there were, like, people who couldn't come on Friday that wanted to come on Saturday and vice versa. So I felt like, of, you know, the pie of rollerblading, like 20% of people would probably make it on Sunday. I'm fine with just doing the 80% that can make it to Saturday or Friday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was great. Long nights, though. So there were a lot of events. You know, I hung out with Arlo and Brooke. They were two booths down, they had a drug receipts booth, which is still very weird. I still don't really know what drug receipts is all about, but they had a booth for drug receipts. So I, you know, got to see Arlo and was chatting with Brooke. I haven't seen Brooke in, you know, 25 years or so. We chat a little bit online. Not like friendly or anything, but like from time to time, I just ask him questions or I say hi or whatever. And it was great to see him again. I mean, I saw so many people that I haven't seen in forever. Michael Palak was out there. It's great to see Mike again. I think I saw him in 2018. But yeah, it was great to see Mike again. Scott Walker came by. So Scott is the dude that ran Big Dan Importing.
Yep.
So he was my like roommate at Monarchy. So he did USD and I think he did Civica and then Second Regime and all of those. Really great to see him again. I mean, it's been a long time. We've chatted a bit online, but you know, there's nothing like seeing him again. And he's doing great. I think he's in insurance now. So if you're looking for insurance in California, look up Scott.
Perfect.
Who else was there? I mean, I'm going to forget a ton of people, but I saw Matthias. So he had a booth for, I think it was for Wicked. But he also had a lot of Icon stuff and USD stuff. I mean, it was just like everything Power Slide. Yeah. But it was really nice to see Matthias. We chatted a little bit. You know, I haven't seen him in 20 plus years as well. So, and I talked with him when I came back into it, but yeah, it was really great to see him. Yeah, it was just a really nice day. I mean, I've met a ton of people who, you know, I've chatted with online and a ton of people who have maybe left comments or are on the live chat and, you know, I've never really interacted with. So it was really great to, you know, have people, I put it out there, you know, on Gear Talk or whatever, like, you know, I'm an introverted dude. I probably wouldn't come up and introduce myself. I'm asking you for this weekend. If you are like that, put that aside. Like, I want to meet you. Come up, say, hey, it's totally cool. Like, we're already friends, even though I don't know you. Please, you know, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
Say hey, even if it's just to you know, get a sticker or say hey or whatever. And then that night, I would just crash, dude. I swear to you. Like, I was up the entire time. My friend Dylan helped me man the booth here and at Crowder. So Dylan is the MVP of both of those events. You know, he helped me set up. He helped me break down. He was also at Crowder. He was the only EMT because they didn't have medics on staff.
Oh, wow.
So he is an EMT by, you know, trade. Like, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And he would respond whenever somebody got hurt and check them out and make sure that everything was okay, including a guy that hit his head and like kind of went a little unconscious. Ooh, and had to stabilize him until the ambulance showed up, which was just crazy. But the morning he's setting up and he brings his jump bag out and he's like, ah, you never know. Like if I bring it out, I'm not going to need it. If I leave it in the car, I'm going to need it. And I'm like, I hope you're right, dude. So then like an hour later, he's like, oh, I gotta go. But yeah, that's he was wild. Great. Then, you know, we were in the Airbnb together with Yandi. Every night they would go out and just hang and party and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm 46. I'm here to work. Like, I love Blade Cup. I love rollerbladers. I love this event, but I've got to get up in the morning and I've got to still work. Like, y'all can sleep in. I have to work. So I'm here with a different mindset. So I would get in, I would go pick up, you know, groceries, like, you know, water and snacks and things like that. And then I would sit in bed with some food and watch, you know, Succession or whatever I was watching, and just kind of like rest. You know, I would drink cough drops and just rest my voice. And then the guys would come in at like 2 a.m. They were always super respectful and quiet and everything. I'm like, man, I miss that. I miss those times. Being out, being rowdy, having a good time, especially in Santa Ana. It's such a Airbnb was kind of in the middle of like a weird area. Like, Santa Ana is a very gentrified, like there's areas of Santa Ana that are really gentrified that are like, you know, cleaner. They have businesses, things like that. But there's a lot of just shady areas in Santa Ana. And I mean that not in a, like a, don't come to Santa Ana way, but like when you're driving around and you see a lot of bars on the windows of houses, like that's a bad sign.
Yeah, to say the least.
Like whether you need that or not, it's just an indicator that there's something going on. There's a lot of homelessness. There were a lot of empty spaces, like businesses that were just not occupied. So it wasn't the greatest of cities. You know, I think I'm spoiled having Raleigh and Durham, like really like, I love those cities. And I feel like those are like, I don't know. All cities have the homeless problem. All cities have the sketchy areas. It just felt, it felt weird being out there. Just, you know, it's been a while since I've been in that environment.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was really nice, man. I hope to get you out there some year. I think you should see what Blading Cup is all about. You should see the them. I didn't go into the store, but I walked by the store. It's just, it's beautiful outside. Like, it's a really, like, John did a great job making that into a place you would want to visit, you know? It's cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there was a point in time where we were potentially going to move out there. So my wife had gotten orders to Long Beach.
That's close. Yeah,
there's a big Coast Guard base there, and we were thinking of looking for places to live in Seal Beach. So I was like, oh man, that'd be awesome. Like, and I was looking, like, how far is that from Santa Ana? Can I skate to to them from there? And I think I could have, if memory serves. Like, there was a couple of neighborhoods we were looking at, and then it fell through. It didn't end up working out. We stayed in Jersey. But I was really excited about that, and I had every plan to spend as much time as I could at them goods.
Yeah.
Bring Emily with and everything like that and just have a good time. But I mean, we're here now. So
it's a great, I mean, that area is really great. I had a really nice coffee. I was walking around. I woke up early, the morning that I was leaving. So, you know, I was in Friday, I was in Saturday, and then Sunday morning I woke up at like 7 'cause, you know, still kind of on East Coast time. It was hard to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I went walking and I just went and got a coffee and it was, you know, right across from the them thing. And I saw the street course all like closed up, for the night. 'Cause they were going to do the event that day. But obviously not at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, it was just, I mean, it's just lovely. I mean, it was a really, really nice, little time. So that day, so Sunday, they were still having the event, and Yondi was still skating, and Dylan was just hanging out doing his thing. I think that's when he went out and put up posters for Standard, and we've been getting, you know, pictures of the posters all over the place, which I absolutely love. I think it's just so silly, but, like, I love that we're putting up posters on, like, it's a, I don't know, a rap
guerrilla album marketing.
Or, yeah, exactly. It's so funny. But I had Brandon Drummond come by. So I invited Brandon over because I'd never met Brandon, and you know, I consider Brandon a friend. He's a good dude. We've chatted enough for me to, you know, to know him. I don't think I know him pretty well, but I think we both have mutual respect for each other. I think he's just a really great guy. He does really good work. He's a great skater, and I think he's a good steward for rollerblading. So I always told him, you know, anything that I can do to support you, just let me know. Like, if you need wheels, if you need frames, if you need whatever, just holler. And when I heard that he was coming out, I was like, dude, you got to come visit, like, come visit North Carolina. And he's like, well, I'm going to be in California that week, so I can't really fly from California to North Carolina and then back to California. But I'm going to be around for Blading Cup. And I'm like, okay, why don't you come by on Sunday and we'll just hang out and chat. And you know, hopefully I'll have the skates and I'll be able to share the skates with you and everything. And he was like, cool, that's great. He also brought Kelvin, who is the shop owner for Shred City, which is the local New Zealand shop. They specialize in aggressive, but they also do all sorts of blades. So if you're in New Zealand and you need skate stuff, that's a really good person to support.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it was really nice to have him over, and Kelvin and everything. I was able to sit down and share him the skate and show, you know, him all the things that I wasn't able to show. We were showing the skate at the booth. We had the actual skate. It was in a clear box that's mostly just to keep people from grabbing it because, you know, the texture's still not there. And I didn't want people taking close-up pictures of it and saying, oh, it looks crap. And it's like, well, yeah, because it's not really ready for people to look at.
Yeah, it's not 100% yet.
No, it's you know, it's like it just came out of the oven. Like, you got to let it simmer for a little bit and, like, cool off so that it can really form up.
For
but,
sure.
It was great to, you know, my first time actually walking people through the product. You know, he was asking questions and I was answering questions and talking to him about the process behind it. This is where we are now. This is where we're going to be in the future. This is what the vision is and stuff. And it was really nice. He took a lot of pictures. So if you're looking for pictures of the skate, go to Brandon's Instagram, or you can go to his YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes for his YouTube video. But he got a lot of information. I won't be sharing any more of that today, but I am very, very excited. They are a lot closer to being ready for testing than I thought they would be.
That's cool.
Like it was a bit hit or miss whether we were going to be able to test these first samples. But I'm really happy that we're able to. And then after we get done with testing them, they will finish off the molds. They will put the textures on and make it look clean. And then we'll start testing materials. So I was saying we've been able to test the fit through 3D printing, but we haven't been able to test the feel, because printed skates are not going to have any flex. You know, the PLA that we use for printing, it's a very rigid, brittle material.
Yeah.
It doesn't flex. We want the skates to have flex. So we need to figure out what amount of glass they put in the mixture so that it is stiff enough that it will provide support, but flexy enough that it'll feel really nice when you're doing topsides or you're doing royals or whatever. So that's our next steps. Should start with that next week. So yeah, very excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really excited for the process that you've been going through with getting this right. And I know that it's going to be better than what most, you know, first edition, so to speak, skates will be or have been in the past. Like the very first run of like the Dirks, you know, had the exploding cuff bolts and stuff like that. So, but they were riveted on and they were probably pretty thin. So it makes sense that happened. So I'm really excited. Yeah. So, you know, Toro, the guy that's from here, was just on Instagram Live at a Phillies game. And so I popped in there real quick while I was waiting for the laptop to charge up and say, "Hey, Toro," he's like, "get standard boots." I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. So Toro's excited too. So you've got at least two pair that are going to be sold shortly after launch.
I saw Toro, when some of the pictures were leaked. Not leaked, but like Brandon had them and they took screenshots and they put them on the rollerblading thing. Toro was frustrated that the cuffs were riveted, because he wants to, I mean, Toro's the guy that he always wants to do customs. And
yeah.
I think that's I talked about the riveted cuff. I actually talked a little bit about the skate on Gear Talk. So if you're looking for some clarification questions and answers, the Gear Talk the other day was a little bit more of the questions answered. But somebody asked about the reasoning behind riveting. And the skates are coming with riveted cuffs. You know, it's
cheaper.
It's less about the price. They are going to be cheaper, but it's less about the price and more about why are cuffs not riveted? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, most people don't replace their cuffs. So why give them the option to? The only reason would be, it gives people flexibility to customize. I'm like, cool, but it also means that there's more moving parts that could fall out. And everybody knows that cuff bolts falling out is like a session dealer, because you don't find replacement cuff bolts very often. Like, nobody really has replacement cuff bolts. And they're all a little different. So it's like trying to find a replacement and trying to find a cuff bolt that doesn't get loose, even with Loctite.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, it just always loosens up. So you always have to check it. And I'm like, I just don't even want to think about that. Like, just rivet the damn thing on. Like, I never think about my cuff bolts. And if they're riveted on, I won't have to think about my cuff bolts. So if there are people out there who want to customize them, they know how to do it. Like, if you already are, you know, thinking about custom setups for these skates, you know how to, you know, Dremel out a cuff bolt. Like, it's not going to be hard for you.
Yeah, it's not terribly difficult.
No.
I mean, fuck, I did it on my Argons. Not the ones you gave me.
A different pair. The other ones. Exactly. I mean, the way rivets work, you know, it's like a mushroom, right? Yeah. They put the mushroom in and there's a little rivet press on the other side. You press it in and it squeezes the back of the mushroom, like the stalk of the mushroom from the inside, and it creates like a flower.
Yep.
So if the flower is, you know, you bent it back, you could easily take the rivet off. Like, it's super easy to remove.
Yeah.
But it won't remove if you don't want to remove it. That's the whole point of riveted cuffs.
Yeah, you have to want to do that.
Exactly. And most people don't, so most people won't even think about it. But
yeah.
Anyway, that is the story of the riveted cuff. I think it's smart. Again, I don't think there's anybody out there who really needs a removable cuff. If you do, you can figure out how to make it removable. We're making all of those little decisions on the skate. They're all thought through. Like, what hardness of a shock absorber? What the sole plate angle is? Like, how deep is the divot in the Royale groove? What frame, you know, what setup is the frame going to be like? And why is the groove the way that it is? Like, all of that stuff we've thought through. And we've argued about it, and we've come to decisions like, this is what most people would want. And most people being like the market that we're, just like you were talking about earlier, you've got to know your market. We're going after that market that if you buy a complete skate, you might not know what frames and wheels you want. So it's like, let's make sure that you have a frame that works for anything that you want to do, and wheels that won't chunk. They're going to be good wheels for whatever you want to skate. And I think that's the market. And I think if you don't want to do that, you get a boot only. Save yourself a little bit of money, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as much as I want to say that I'll buy the complete, I'll probably end up buying, you know, the boots of the standard boots. Because I've got enough frames that I could choke a donkey. So.
Yeah. And you could get it without the liner, because I know you already like your Them Intuitions.
That is true. Thank you again for those.
Yeah. I mean, it's creating products for the market, knowing your market. And I think there's going to be a lot of people. The boot is amazing. Like, I'm not going to lie. I think it's going to be really crazy how good the boot is. You know, having a flat with a shock absorber and a really quality sole plate, there's not a lot of those out there in plastic. Like, you would have to get a carbon skate. You could get, you know, the Seven or the God's Team Skate. That's really your only option.
Yeah.
But getting that linerless, you know, and just that, I mean, that's not going to be a lot of money. Like, you know, boot only plus no liner. I mean, you'll be able to get that for a pretty great deal. You got to try that. Like, even if you don't want to skate the skates, you got to see if the shell is going to fit you. So you've already got the liner. You don't have to spend an extra, you know, $100 or whatever on a liner, $200 on the Intuition. Throw whatever liners you got in there. See how they skate. Put your frames on that you've already got.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's going to be good.
Of course it is. You made it.
I mean, skates are very different than anything else. I mean, so we're doing liner testing, and it's like, Jesus, man, I feel really good about our liners, but there's so much I don't know about liner development. Like, I've never tried anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure you've learned plenty, too.
I've skated enough liners. Again, you know, the whole point of this skate is I've skated enough skates out there to know what is great. And let's put all the little great things into one product. And I feel like our liner has, I mean, there's five. Our stock liner. There are five features of a stock liner that every liner should have. You know, it should be heat moldable because your ankle is a little different. Every ankle is a little different. It should have a neoprene toe. And if you want a more responsive ride, you get an Intuition or you get something that doesn't have a neoprene toe. But for a stock liner, you should have a neoprene toe. You want more comfort. It should have a rubbery sole area, the foot area, because you want to prevent any slippage inside of the boot. And then you want a heel with a little bit of a leather patch or a non-slip so that it doesn't rise up. And then you want something that can be laced up, because having a nice lace-up liner, even if you don't need it, the option of having a lace-up liner feels really good. And it just, you know, it feels like you're kind of set in the boot instead of floating around inside the boot.
Yeah. So
again, stock liner, but I feel like people are going to freak out because it's a really great stock liner.
Yeah. And I you don't half-ass things, especially when it comes to a product that you want to put out there. And And I'm confident that whatever you do come out with is going to be more than sufficient for at least 70% of the people that are going to be in the market for them.
Yeah, so, that's the goal. I'm not trying to be the high end. I'm not trying to be the next Themscates or like Mesmer. Like, I feel like they're at a higher end market. I'm trying to be at a more everyman's market, like a price point, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be as cheap as like a Sway, like, or a Majestic 12. They've got, you know, 20 years of the molds amortized. They can get those prices down. But it will be competitive, and it'll be accessible. You know, it is hopefully it's the skate that I can recommend to everybody when they get back into blading, so they can go out there and they can skate and they can feel really good about the skates that they purchased.
Yeah. And I think you're going to hit the nail on the head with them. So when are the white ones coming out? What about gold ones? Are you going to do gold?
We're not going to do gold. We're not going to do gold at launch. I don't know what colors we have actually. At launch, we're going to do white with black, and we're doing black with white. I think we're going to keep it clean. The white is going to be limited. I don't think there's a lot of people out there who want white skates, or I should say there's more people out there who want black skates.
Yeah, so I would agree with that.
My model is always we need to keep black in stock always, and then we'll do one that's a fun, different color. So at launch, it's going to be white, and then with the second run, it's going to be a signature model. And then who knows what's next. But we'll continue to keep the black skates in stock, maybe changing the colorways and the highlights so that you know which version it is. But white will be available at launch. It's not going to be a ton, though. I mean, again, I don't have a ton of money, so it's the minimums that I can order and still get them to produce the skates. So if you want them, make sure that you order them early. you know, even if you change your mind afterwards, you can always sell them, but there's not going to be a ton of them out there.
Gotcha. That's, it's just so cool. I can't wait. You've been talking about doing a boot for a long time, and I saw some samples of some early stuff that you got.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, a few things of that's going to have to change quite a bit.
It's a learning process, you know? Like, I had the idea in my head of what would work, but until you start doing it, like, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And there's so much I didn't know about this whole process. But getting through it, I mean, I'm really happy where we are right now.
Good. Because it's not that far off.
It's not that far off, that's for sure.
So I've learned something this evening.
Oh, what's that?
So as we were chit-chatting, I went on to PowerSlide's website. Because you had mentioned PowerSlide was there and Blading Cup, and Matthias was there with a Wicked booth.
Wicked booth, yep.
Do you know how many bearings Wicked offers?
Oh, Lord. I mean...
unbelievable.
Yeah. Didn't they just release five signature bearings?
I didn't know they did that. So they have a
You didn't know they did this?
No, I had no idea. So they have one for Bart Swings. They have one for Felix Rien, which are, you know, world-class speed skaters. I see one for Nick Lomax. There's some ILQ9s, which I'm going to have to get myself a couple sets. There's a Mini. Who the fuck still uses a 688 bearing these days? That's crazy to me.
Which one's that?
So that's the Swiss Mini by Jessa. A lot of hockey wheels will have a 688 bearing in them, which is a Mini bearing, still, you know, an 8mm, you know, axle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it's a much smaller bearing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is strange to me, but, you know, I don't play hockey, so.
Right.
There's also a Nicola Torelli bearing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bearing for Nicolie Machado.
Yeah, yeah. Who just had a new edit come out. Did you see her new edit on USD?
I probably did. Like, anything that she puts out, I watch because it's she's awesome. Great. Like, it feels fun watching her go from a 12-year-old, you know, doing her first soul grind on a handrail and almost crying.
Right.
Which I totally related to because I'm pretty sure that I almost felt like I was going to cry the first time I did a handrail.
No doubt.
And then the next time that I tried and racked myself, I was like, yeah, this is definitely, tears are going to happen for sure. So, but it's awesome watching her progress and get more comfortable and more capable and stuff. It's awesome. I love watching her stuff. Yeah. But it's really cool that she has a name product now.
Yeah,
hopefully it's a boot soon, because I think if there's if there's anyone on their team that deserves it, I would definitely say it's her. But yeah, like it's a really cool lineup that they have, and and they have titanium ones. They've got some ceramic bearings. It's wild.
It's crazy. Yeah. I had no idea either. They really have a ton of bearings. I don't know what the... Where do you get all these bearings? Like, who stocks all of these bearings? You know?
Powerslide?
Yeah. Like, is there a...
They're not an inline warehouse. I know that. No, doesn't have a ton of them.
No, I don't think anybody carries Wicked like that. I mean, they're stock bearings.
Yeah. But they're good stock bearings. Like, even just
they're
the
great
ABEC
stock
9s.
Bearings. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Even those ABEC 9s that I got, or they might have been 7s, but even the Wicked ones that I got when I first got my Aeons, I skated those for a while. They were really good bearings. I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, love it. But...
I mean, they're not as good as my...
There's a lot of bearings out there.
Yeah, they're not as good as my Compass Swiss bearings, but they're good.
Those are pretty good bearings.
They really are. I'm a really, really big fan. I'm going to have to actually buy some from you. A couple more sets.
I got a few in stock.
Okay. It'll happen soon.
No problem.
What else do we got? Do you have any ideas on what's next for Standard? Are you looking at what's next yet, or are you still just trying to come out with the first line?
Our first thing is going to be just bringing the skates out. Okay. We do have the next... So I have to order materials for the next order. It's kind of a weird time because I don't know what the response is going to be like, and I'm trying to be smart about it. I don't want to bring in, like, I don't mind selling out. What I don't want to have way too much inventory. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many they're going to, how many I'm going to need. So I'm going to bring in the minimums, but I do have to order the materials for the next shipment as well, because the numbers are just, you know, in order to get in as few as I could, I had to work a deal that I could order less, all the material for the two orders, because it's just they have minimums as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're working with me to get ramped up, but we'll have the materials for the next shipment. Hopefully I can, you know, because black is, you know, going to roll over to the next shipment. Hopefully I can use some of those black material and just make more of the first run, you know, and bring in a restock of the first run. That would be really nice. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, but you know, if they sell fast, then that's a good thing. But then, yeah, I don't know when the next, I mean, it all depends on when the orders go, like how quickly they sell out. And if they do sell out, there's so much up in the air right now. The nice thing is that I feel like all the design stuff is done. We do have to do the website. We do have to do videos and stuff promoting it. And I'm going to do a little like documentary sort of video that explains everything and kind of tells the story of how we got here and, you know, just walks through the skate and tells people what's all about. Because there's a lot of things that we've considered, and it's hard to educate people. So putting a video together, I think, is going to really help that.
Yeah, that's going to be a really fun video to watch. Like, I'm very excited. Hopefully I can do something for you to be a part of it.
Well, it's going to be just me talking, so...
Just stand in the background, staring.
Yeah, just hanging out, staring.
The camera would be like...
Staring like Yondi.
You need to buy these skates, because they're the best.
I don't know if that will work.
Be your executive shit talker.
Yeah. But no, that's now awesome. it's just hurrying up and waiting. There's still a lot of work to do, but, you know, production takes time, and we've got a test. So as soon as we're done testing, we'll have more to announce. The goal is start production in June. So I think we're on pace for that. It just depends on how quickly we can get the other sizes confirmed and then the molds started for those. Because, you know, we still got to get the molds, 45 days, and then sampling and then testing. So it's going to be a long summer waiting for things to happen. Once this is done, like, I'm fine with delaying a little bit so that we can get things right the first time. Once that's done, then it'll be smooth sailing for the next order and the next order and the next order.
That's awesome. So when you talk about you need to order materials, are you talking about you need to order the pellets?
Yeah. The actual raw material. So we need to order the plastics. We need to order the the textiles that they use to make the liners and all of the things that go into making a skate. There's a lot more parts than you might realize.
Oh, yeah.
And the quantities are immense. Like, the amount of plastic that's needed to make the skate, it's a lot of plastics. So they can't do that until we figure out the materials. As soon as we figure out the materials, then we can technically start production, which means they start ordering the material. And that takes, you know, a couple of weeks for them to get them in. At that time, I should have the other sizes confirmed, and then we can start the molds. So they get the materials in, they can start, you know, on making the frames, and, you know, I can place the order for the wheels, and they can make the bearings and things like that. And then the sole plates and the boots and the cuffs will be last because they're waiting on the final molds to be done.
So cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Very exciting.
Yeah, like, I never would have thought that it would have had all this to do, but at the same time, if I were to do a boot myself, I probably would go with an open mold just for the simple fact that I wouldn't want to go through, you know, months and months and months of, and who knows how much money for, you know, molds and, you know, sampling and all that stuff. So that would be difficult for me to do. But I mean, clearly you're able to make it happen.
It's tough, man. I mean, especially with things being pretty slow the last few months, like, summer is starting to pick up and I'm starting to get a lot of orders from shops and a lot of direct orders. But the first few months of the year were very slow. And that's hard to predict, you know? It's hard to say, oh yeah, I'm sure that this is going to ramp up, when you don't really know. I mean, we haven't returned to a normal state yet. COVID is still lingering. Like, I feel like we're still above where we were in 2019 pre-COVID. I would have to check, you know, the stats and everything, but I feel like we're at that point. I just don't know how low it's going to go.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, it is... I still think that we'll just have more people, not like the boom was in, you know, 2020, 2021, but, you know, I think we'll still have a respectable percentage above what we had in the past. And hopefully we'll get, you know, more money in and be able to, you know, expand to everybody. That'd be fantastic. I'd love to be able to get to a point where Undercover can bring their wheel prices back down to where it should be. Because they're able to buy so many.
It's been a weird brand to watch. I don't know what their future is. They're still doing pro model wheels. So they just released the Eugens and the, who's the other ones? There were a bunch of wheels that they just released.
Mary has a new one.
I think everybody has a new one. Everybody on the team, don't they?
Yeah, there was several of them. But I don't know. Offhand, let's look at Inline Warehouse.
Yeah, the only reason that I saw them was that I saw the Eugen video, and I was like, oh, great. Like, it's, I can't even find them. They're not on their Instagram for some reason. If they are, I can't find them.
Yeah, so Mary has a wheel, Joey Longer. They've got the Bladies 60 mil, Chris Calkin's wheel, which is interesting because Chris Calkin isn't doing anything for them anymore.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Sam Craw. Nope, that's the old one. So Carlos Bernal is another Ninja Turtle wheel, but it's green this time. So that's discounted from it. So I don't think that's a new one.
Yeah, no, these are the old ones on Inline Warehouse. There's brand new ones.
Yeah, there's a couple of the 80 mil, the Nicola Torelli movie wheel.
It's so weird. Like, because I'm assuming you're looking at the Inline Warehouse.
Yeah.
So where the hell was it? So Eugen just released a promo for his new wheel.
Okay.
His new wheel is based on Alien.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it's a brand new series. It's the movie line. God damn it. I don't even know.
Is the movie line 2? Because I think they already had one line.
Here you go. I'll text you real quick. It's listed on Power Slide.
Oh. That's an interesting wheel.
Yeah. So that's one of them.
That's a 5890? That doesn't look like the 58 profile.
Well, that's the thing. So they're not done at AEND anymore.
True. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, so they are. They're at a movie. I don't even know. Blockbuster? What is it called? It's the Blockbuster line? No.
No, I think it's just the movie too, because the Richie Eisler wheel is a 6090 and it says movie, but I don't know what the hell movie that is.
I don't know either. So it's Blockbuster. They don't have movies listed. It's like Eugen linked to a thing that doesn't have a, like, it's just a direct link. It doesn't have a page yet. But I swear I saw other.
Yeah, so
this is so confusing.
What is this?
Oh, here we go. So if we go to, if you go to just wheels, so you go to Powerside Collections Undercover Wheels, the root page has
there it is.
The new stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, when you hover it in Undercover, it's got the different collections. So you got the Blockbuster collections, the Pro TV collections, the Bladies. Okay, Cosmic, which was a couple lines ago.
But this is different. So they have a Richie Eisler movie, which is red and turquoise, which is a really cool looking wheel. But yeah, it's Jesus, guys.
There's a lot of SKUs. I think we've mentioned more than a couple times that so many SKUs aren't exactly easy to maintain.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, see, this has Eugen. So when you look on the TV one, the Pro TV. That's a very old Eugen wheel.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at the cores, and some of the cores, they have the ITs. The ITs are the Italy ones, I think. I think that's where the new... No, it's a different core. I wonder where these new Undercover wheels are coming from.
So when Ricardo did his video on them, he said they were being made in Italy. Like, do you happen to know any wheel manufacturers in Italy?
Oh, here's the other one. So there's a new Carlos Bernal movie one with, I don't know what movie that is, but it's red. Have you seen this one?
I don't think so. I'm looking for it.
It's so funny. Copy link here. This is the Carlos Bernal. I don't know which movie this is. And there's a Sam Crofts one. Here's a copy link. But you got to scroll all the way down. Like all the way down. And if you look like... They're 58 and they're 60. Wow. They're rounded 58s, rounded 60s, which, again, great. I don't know where these are coming from, though. That's not a Bravo pour, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, it's a weird core, too.
Yeah. So maybe it's a new factory that they're working with. But it's weird that they would be, like, undercover prices. I mean, maybe they're not. They're 48, which...
Yeah, these IT was $67.
It's all over the place right now.
Then again, though, the PowerSlide website, their line, like if you look in the MyFit and that the liners, they're all $110 plus.
Oh, are they?
So I think that these are just inflated prices, which is interesting because usually when you go direct to the manufacturer, you don't have to pay as much.
You would think not.
So I feel like they're inflating their costs to push people to the retail market they're trying to push people to shops and stuff like that, so then the shops can make the money, and if for some reason the shops don't have them in stock and they do, then they still can do that. They just have to spend more money. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's confusing to me.
I'll just keep buying my shit from you.
You buy wherever you want. I'm really curious what these new wheels are like. Same. I think having a new factory pour an undercover wheel is kind of weird. Like, people look for, you know, Undercover being one of the best wheel companies out there, the best urethane.
Yeah.
If they change manufacturers, is it going to match? It looks like it won't because the pricing is less. Like, if you compare, Mary's yellow wheels, they're, Jesus Christ, $73 for four?
That's crazy.
That can't be right, can it?
I mean, it's possible.
A 6090 for $73 for four?
I'm not going to pay that, but...
So the Carlos ones that are the new one, the red ones, are 6090, and they're 48 for four, which is more reasonable.
Yeah, that is reasonable. It's still expensive, but
it's still expensive. It's more reasonable. $73 for four.
I mean, do they have the aluminum cores or something like that? Like, I don't
know. No, it's why just are they a, so expensive? It's just a core. Yeah, I don't know. Isn't that like $18 per wheel?
Pretty close, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of nuts. I'm very interested. Like, I kind of feel like I need to get some of these wheels and see if they're any good.
Go for it. Report back.
Probably won't happen because I'm not going to buy them. I just, it feels so weird. It kind of to tie it to, you know, the dealer of denims that we were talking about. I would hate to pay a prime for something when I don't need to.
Right.
Like if I can get a wheel that I know is high quality that I don't have to worry about and not have to spend $48 for four of them, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because I happen to look at the Sam Crofts wheels, but like
yeah.
$61.45 for the Blades wheels, which those are clearly the AEND ones because they have those cores. Right. You know, the AEND wheels for the Chris Calkins movie wheel, $73.74. Like, that's fucking insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
I'm not going to buy them, but they can. I mean,
I can't imagine you're going to buy anyone else's wheels.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, you've done stranger things, that's for sure.
I've done stranger things. I do appreciate coming out with new product, and it feels like Undercover is coming out with new wheels every couple of months now, which is a little confusing, but it's nice to have new stuff, and especially if they're changing manufacturers, maybe they just needed to, you know, cut, you know, and go with AEND. Maybe they're just too expensive now. So they're now, you know, using a new manufacturer. Maybe it's a good manufacturer. Maybe it's, you know, lives up to the Undercover name. I think AEND makes some of the best wheels on the market, and that's a tough act to follow.
For sure. For sure. So I can't imagine, I'm sure that they did their due diligence and said like, all right, we're going to order, you know, 50 or 60 wheels for testing, and then sent them out to random folks on the team and just said, test these wheels out, try to beat them up. Let us know how they go.
Sure. You know,
Matthias didn't get where he is by making dumb decisions.
No.
By not making a lot of dumb decisions.
And it's cool that it's cheaper. Like, it reflects that. It's just an interesting, like, if Undercover is, especially a pro Undercover wheel, that should be, like, really, really high quality.
Agreed. Yeah. Like, there was a time where people were always talking about if you know, Undercover wheels will typically chunk. And that was when they had, like, the clear cores. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that was a big reason why I never bought any at the time. Because, you know, I heard all these horror stories about them chunking and nobody being able to do anything about it. So it's like, all right, well, I'm going to stick with Eulogy for now.
Right.
So, and now I've got even better wheels. So.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, it's still wild that they have those priced where they do.
Yeah, who knows?
Yep. You can still get Epic Grind shoes, too. Did you know that?
You can. I don't know. are there any new ones, or are they...
Yeah, they came out with new ones and didn't say anything.
I saw the fiery red ones.
Yep,
Montre the epic had lavas. Them. Yeah, yeah.
The clean
Montre
lights.
Had them at Crowder. And the Raven looks new.
Yeah,
that no, does which look one new. Looks new? Yeah, one of them. Couple new ones. The Storm. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what the future is with those shoes. I don't know.
Yeah, those all white ones look kind of nice. The epic clean whites.
I mean, I would never wear them, but I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't spend $146 to wear them.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I could save money and buy some Nike Air Maxes and not have to worry about it.
This is true.
But I couldn't do grinds on my Air Maxes. That's the problem.
No, you couldn't.
So, what else do we have? Anything else?
Not a ton. So, I would be remiss to not mention the passing of Ben Weiss.
Yes.
I think that was... It's interesting, and I don't want to go weird with this, but, you know, I just saw Ben. Ben and I weren't close, but I knew Ben. And, you know, we chatted a bit and we've talked online and we've talked in person. You know, he came out to Bitter Cold and I saw him and it was a weird experience, you know? Just anybody who knew Ben knows that, you know, he's a great guy, like definitely passionate about rollerblading. He struggled with substance abuse.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a mystery. Definitely recommend the what's it called? Powell Movement. Powell Movement podcast that he was on with Mike Powell. He gets into it and he talks all about it. So I'll link to that. Definitely worth listening to. He was in a weird state when I saw him in Bitter Cold. It was a weird like last impression that I have of him. You know, I know of Ben as the wild guy that would do these crazy tricks at events, and it wasn't just events, like anywhere he'd go, he was like, I want to do a crazy trick. Like he was just driven by doing the craziest stunts. You know, it was the Ben Weiss show, right?
Yeah.
Really genuine dude, passionate dude, nicest guy, but you could see when he was struggling, and I've talked to him when he was struggling, and it was a different Ben. And it really sucks because I feel like he needed blading and he didn't have blading for so many years. And that's when he really lost things. And you know, I hesitate to say any of this stuff because I'm not friends with Ben. I'm not in his inner circle. You know, I barely knew him. But I know that he loved blading. He loved the community. He loved being at Bitter Cold. He was like, I'm really, really excited to skate. Like he really wanted to do well because he was excited about it. And I felt like blading kept him clean and blading kept him focused. And I feel like he lost that for so many years and he had just found it again. And he was really trying to clean himself up. And I'm sure that he had missteps. I'm sure, you know, that's, you know, drugs aren't what you do, it's who you are. Yeah. You know, it's hard to not be an addict. And he definitely was an addict and he struggled with that. And he could substitute the drugs with blading and he could hang out with the community instead of getting high or whatever. And that was special. And I feel like everybody has that. And you know, if you're listening to this or if you've, you know, been part of blading, you know that culture is so like welcoming and so like want you to be here, want you to be part of this. When you go out skating, you forget normal life. You go out and you just have fun and you're just a rollerblader, and that's just it. And I think he needed that more than a lot of people. And he was on his way to making it better. You know, I'm sure he had some missteps. But you could see in his eyes at Bitter Cold, he was just like, this is my second coming. Like I'm totally here for that. And then he just was gone. And, you know, the reports that I read were something about a moped accident. He was out riding his moped and he got hit. And he wasn't wearing a helmet or he, you know, if you're hit by a car riding a moped, it doesn't really, matter, you know,
yeah.
Like you're going to be on the bad end of that deal. It sucks, man. It really sucks. And I don't really, you know, I've lost too many people, especially, you know, I'm getting to that age where I'm starting to lose people of my age. And it's never easy. You know, I always kind of afterwards I think about, well, what could I have done differently? How could I have helped him or anything? But I feel like we were helping him. I feel like we were giving him what he needed. And, you know, it sucks to see that he had that potential to clean himself up and to be part of the community. And he was really excited about that stuff. And then it just, you know, all kind of was put to a stop. So,
yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of outpouring of support and love for Ben. And he's the guy that, you know, nobody really talked about. And unfortunately, whenever he would show up, he was always this wild guy. Like he was always on something. I'm not saying chemically on something.
He was on another level.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were down here talking and he was way up there, like thinking about tricks or just being the Ben Weiss show. And I think he had a difficult time adjusting to reality. And think that, you know, blading was really good for him. So if you are out there listening to this, you know, going through hard times, I think we all go through hard times. Blading is a really great place to just be. You need some, energy to get past, whether it's physical energy or what is it? Yeah, exactly. Like, it will do you good. It will do your soul good to go out rollerblading. If it's just by yourself, go out there and just skate. I always say the best times are the times that you just put wheels on your feet and you just go explore.
Yeah.
And it's like, get something that you can do some bonks and jumping and some stair rides and, maybe a soul grind here or there, but it's like, just go out there and have fun skating, because life is short and you don't know how many days you've got left. So try to make the most of it. And, if you're not blading as much as you can be, I think you should blade as much as possible, because it's good for every part of you. If there's anything that I can do, or if you're in the area and you want to skate, just reach out. I'm always down to open up the warehouse, even if I'm busy on meetings. Come by and skate and say hey, check things out. You know where I am. And any events that you can go out to, I highly recommend you do that. Again, it's just a reset. It's a way for you to remember the community, to be part of the community. And maybe somebody there needs blading more than you do, and they see you there, or you go out to a session and they're like, there's more people out there, I'm feeling better. Let's do something for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you just want to talk to somebody, or you just need to get something off your chest, reach out. If not the law to me, I'll do what I can to help. I'll, at the very least, I can listen. I've offered that to a bunch of people. Fortunately or unfortunately, they've not taken me up, which is fine. No. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I mean, like, fortunately, they didn't need it. Unfortunately, they did need it, but they still felt that, they couldn't reach out or whatever. And anyone that I've said that to, I 100% mean it. I'll do what I can to listen. If you just want, say words at somebody and not worry about being judged, I'll do that for you. If you want to talk to someone, have a dialogue, I'll try to do that too. I probably don't have the best ideas, but I will make jokes, but I will also say that, shit like that is very real. Mental health is a thing, mm-hmm. that is not a joke.
No doubt.
But I'll do what I can to help if you want to reach out. Yeah. So.
Good stuff.
I feel like I should make a joke to to lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't mean to sign everything off on that note, but it sucks when we lose somebody in our community,
Yeah,
especially somebody that looks like they needed blading, and it's like we could give them something, and it's like
Yeah, it was rough for whatever reason. It was really rough for me when Brian Bell passed. I think that was more just because like his videos had so much influence on me back in the day. And I got to talk to him a couple times, on the phone when I was out in San Diego. So like, it was a little more personal than just hearing like, so-and-so passed. Like, that sucks. Like there's too many rollerbladers that are passing away nowadays.
Yeah.
And there's too many people in general that are dying before they should. But anyway, we're talking about shitty things again. I am very excited about, the future of everything that we've talked about tonight. I think there's some really bright days coming ahead, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm looking forward to doing more events. I really enjoyed Blading Cup. I think, this summer is going to be a really great time to get out and skate. I don't know when we're going to have more events. I don't know if there's another event on the calendar, but, now that the skates are a thing, I'm going to do everything that I can to get out to events. And, it's the business side of it. I've got to show them off. I've got to talk with people. I've got to hopefully bring skates for people to try on and test. And I, as I said earlier, the offer stands. Even if you're an introverted person, please never hesitate. If you see me at an event, come up and say, hey, I would love to meet you. I probably won't do the same simply because I'll usually be behind the booth. Yeah. But I would love nothing more than to meet everybody and, even if you don't buy the skates or buy anything, at least say hey and let me know that you're out there.
Come chit chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that was one of the cool things about doing the industry show with you at What Year Is It? And then doing the booth at Grindsgiving. Like, it was fun to be able to just sit there and you know, shoot the breeze with people for a couple of minutes and sell them frames or wheels or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think someone just came up and wanted to get a set of wheels, and I was like, oh, why don't you get frames too? And they're like, okay. So like,
there was somebody, wow, I don't remember who, but somebody was asking about you if Ben was going to be out here. So I've definitely got to do something to bring you out to, I don't know which event, maybe the next Blading Cup, but we'll find some time to get Ben out so that he can represent and help upsell things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very good at it, but I mean, that time I was.
Only the best. I expect only the best.
And that's what I'll give you. I just don't know if it'll work very well.